Blog Talk Radio.
Koda, Mojuba, Asheda, Mojuba, Aluwa, Mi, Apolabi, Pega, Mojuba, Araba, Mi, Adesanya, Awuyade, Mojuba, Ogute, Compound, Ode, Remo, Mojuba, Baba, Mojuba, Yeye, Mojuba, Egun, to all the God children, Mojuba, Egun, to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba, Egungun, to all the chiefs, Mojuba, Egungun, to all the Awos, Mojuba, Egungun, to all those that are listening. Who are tuned in? We give praise and thanks to the Most High. We say Ashe, 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 Ashe,
Ashe. Welcome to Sign of the Times, everyone. This is Queen Tahira. Sign of the Times is brought to you by the UAC and New Power Radio Network. We began the UAC after the unjust Zimmerman verdict on July 13, 2014. This year, we will be celebrating our third anniversary. Fourth anniversary. Time flies when July approaches. So we ask that you please support our sponsor, us and our sponsors, Manhood, Race, and Culture, headed up by my co-host on Wednesday night, Dr. James Jones. You can find him as James Jones on Facebook as well as on the World Wide Web at manhoodraceculture.com and as a liking group page on Facebook as well. Also, please support Arlie Gordon of Unity Design. Unity is spelled U-N-I-T-E-E. Please find him on Facebook as Arlie Gordon and Unity Design on the World Wide Web at unitydesign.com. And we never want to forget our beloved brothers and sisters who are behind enemy lines. Please support Unheard Voices, Free Alabama Movement, and the Free Ohio Movement, respectively, on Facebook as well as on the World Wide Web at freealabamamovement.com and freeohiomovement.org. So tonight I have my beautiful sister, Andreon, as my co-host for Andreon Holistic Health and Healing here on New Power Radio Network. Welcome, sis. How are you doing this evening?
All is well. Thank you, my beautiful sister Queen. How are you?
I'm well. I'm tired. I'm sore, but you know what? So what?
I know that's amazing. So I've done it twice in less than 60 days helping people move, and I know how it is, man. It's crazy.
Yes, yes. And we got a little, I guess, leeway with the time for getting out of our old place and into our new place. So that took a huge burden off of my shoulders for what this weekend would have looked like. So yeah, it's all
right.
Good. Sometimes we get our blessings when we least expect it.
I know. Thank God for little blessings. We'll take it.
Yes. Yes. So how you doing? What's going on in your neck of the woods?
Well, I am expanding a little bit. I'm going to set up a Patreon account so that everyone can kind of get information all in one place. And a couple of people reached out to me and expressed that that's something that they really look forward to. And I was like, well, all right, let's get to it.
Ashe. Yeah, Brother Jonathan shared that information with us as well. So, yeah, we're going to be doing the same thing on our end to try to get more support, try to get more information and education opportunities out here to the people. Because it's out here. We just need to connect, continue to connect.
Yeah. And the more we can kind of offer these, you know, circles of information and influence, I think, you know, it'll spread and we'll start overlapping and it'll just do that chain effect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, one of the conversations that we've had this week, you know, Wednesday nights we have Dr. James Jones, and then last night we did a listen-in session with our beloved brother Mwali Baruti, Mwali Baruti, from the Echo Bin House. And so people can go on YouTube and visit him on Facebook as well. Find out this information that we shared last night about sexual insanity. And so one of the things that came up in our discussion with Dr. Jones on Wednesday is the role of men. And one of the things that Dr. Baruti speaks on is like his top five, if you will, role and responsibility of men in our household. And he says that it's up to the men to be an educator, a leader, provider, protector, and a respecter of women. And I thought that sounded absolutely wonderful. But what we got into was a conversation pretty much based on semantics. We don't define provider, protector, and so on, educator, et cetera, in the same realm that Europeans do. It means something totally different just because of the fact that we are an African melanated family. I got some pushback from Dr. Jones on the fact that, you know, it's not just the man's responsibility to be the provider, and then you get into this whole dissertation about how Europeanized that whole concept is, but it's actually not. It's actually exactly what not only the man is supposed to be doing in our relationships, but what women are supposed to be doing as well. And the thing about it is that we've, I think, allowed ourselves for too long to be defined by what they call us versus us going back to how our soul remembers we should be. So what's your opinion on that, on the things that I read as far as the man's role in the family? And you can go ahead and start tonight's dialogue.
I think what you're hitting on is spot on. What we have to remember as a people is that we are cooperative. You know, the Eurocentric view of things, they put themselves at odds from the onset. You know, the woman's role is in the home. The man's role is outside. You know, this very, and that's because that's what, and it doesn't even handle well there. I was going to say that's what they, that's just what they are used to doing, but it doesn't actually handle well even with them. Because if they mm-hmm. go back even in their own Eurocentric history, they'll find that they have a lot of women that have held strong posts in their leadership also as far as, like, running kingdoms and things like that. So the original man concept to me is just more cooperative, and the lines mm-hmm. are not blurred. I mean, the lines are not that distinct. They are more blurred, and we actually have to embrace that and not try to put it in so in such a segmented chart of duties, you know, when it comes mm-hmm. to the educator. You know, the women hold a strong position in educating, one, because straight out of the womb, we're looking into our baby's eyes, you know, as they suckle us, and that information is, you know, conveyed from there, you know. So, you know, nothing is that set in stone. You know, what is it that you consider a provider? Provider sustenance, then, you know, mm-hmm. that is definitely more cooperative. You know, even, you know, as we tend to our gardens, the man may do the heavy work, but, you know, we're picking and cooking the food. And then even at that, it's not that distinct, because you have a lot of us who, you know, we are more of a abstract people. Part of our spirituality lends to a broadness of what we want ourselves to be. A lot of our stress has come from trying to fit into these boxed roles that we as a people don't fit into. It's kind of like getting back to the women is from Venus, men are from Mars meme that was out there, you know, started 20 years ago. And we're trying to take that and place that onto our relationships. And we got into, you know, we're still reeling from that. We're in a whole lot of trouble and a whole lot of hurt from that, because what that sets up is that only women, you know, are free to express emotions, and men are, you know, of the warring, you know, angst, antagonistic type. And so it pitted us against each other, and it's funny because it didn't even work for them, because the very authors of that concept soon after got a divorce, you know. So we have to be really careful in taking those concepts and even trying to, you know, discuss them in a segmented way. And you know, it may be a little challenging, but, you know, I would say that, you know, when we talk about how we come together as a people and as a couple, as men and women, I think that we need to keep that more broad, you know, and lend that, you know, the men's role, even though it's those five things, we should not make that the man's burden, you know. And then, and make and understand that as women, we are found just as foundational, and not leave us as some accessory, you know, because then we run into our own frustrations with that.
That's so true. That's so true. Now, another one of the resources that Dr. Jones quoted was that the Brookings Institute, and you had mentioned his piece on that, as far as, you know, us marrying men who are not equally yoked and that kind of thing. First of all, I'm not familiar with the Brookings Institute. Is it mm-hmm. a black institute, or do you know anything about some of the past research that they've done?
I'm familiar with some of the statistics. I'm not familiar with the group itself. But, you know, the whole equally yoked thing, what does that mean? You know, because, again,
right.
we are equally yoked. You know, it's like we may not have, you know, or our sisters may not see the men out there coming out of college or whatever. They're there, but, you know, the fact mm-hmm. of the matter is so many of our men are getting caught up on paper in their, you know, their prison pipeline. That being said, you know, we have to look at the whole picture of success, and that, and what is equally yoked. Again, I don't want us to get caught up in thinking that under a Eurocentric view that equally yoked means that I have a master's, he has a master's too. No, he may be masterful as a tradesman, or masterful, you know, taking on some other ability and you know, more into the entrepreneurial venue. And so we have mm-hmm. to really, you know, because as we, one, we need to be more imaginative with how we express ourselves in the world anyway, both socially and financially. And we need to mm-hmm. take that and really, you know, extrapolate that into what are we looking for in each other, because there's a whole lot of sisters out there that are, you know, college graduates and still unemployed, you know. So we have to be very flexible in how we turn that, you know. And it might mm-hmm. just be, you know, like I know Dr. Jones made reference to some of his friends who were college graduates, who were, you know, professionals out there doing that, and they were unwed and or unattached. And that's cool, because they may take that approach that they're looking for someone very specific in their life. That's
mm-hmm.
cool. I think
mm-hmm.
Women need to be equally as discerning, you know. So
mm-hmm.
don't just necessarily go to the quote-unquote hood rat, you know, and I'm using that loosely. I don't mean, you know, no disrespect, but just because you feel you don't have any options, you know. But then on
mm-hmm.
the other hand, don't exclude who you think it may be, I don't know, down and out because of what society has not lent him, has not offered him an opportunity. Because sometimes if we're patient and not giving our essences away, and I'm going to say physically, sexually, if we don't give that away too fast, you'll find that,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's diamond in the rough in all of us, you know. So, you know, we run, as women, we run the pattern in our communities of choosing who we think might not be our equal yoke, but then we don't protect ourselves throughout the beginnings of that relationship, so that what happens is before that relationship develops, before that man can get inspired to perform for his family in those five cities, a child is brought into it, which brings stresses, bringing the child into a scenario too early on in the relationship, and now they're at each other's throats before they even get a start, you know. So there's a whole lot to that dynamic. I don't think it's cut and dry as, you know, picking someone equally yoked, and, you know, because,
mm-hmm.
again, what does that really mean? Because we come from different
mm-hmm.
facets. We have so many different talents. You know, should a woman not pick a man because she has a record? Well, at the rate that they're picking us off the street and putting paper on us, you know, you're going to exclude a good part of our potential, you know, good men out there that just got caught in a strange
mm-hmm.
scenario.
Ashe, and all it takes is an accusation for something like that to happen, because contrary to what's been said and what's been taught and what's been told, you're not innocent until proven guilty. You're guilty until you can prove yourself innocent, especially
absolutely.
If you're a black man. So
right.
that in and of itself is a contradiction. Also, sis, you know, in looking at the term itself, just using the term equally yoked is oppressive, you know, and to a certain extent, for people who choose to adhere to that, it sets you up with a certain amount of arrogance, too, in my opinion, because who are we to say, you know, who has the proper yoke and who doesn't, according to what
right.
freaking standards? Like, so,
exactly.
I mean, the quote in of itself comes from Corinthians, 2 Corinthians
mm-hmm.
6:14, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, you know. And so,
right.
I mean, to even use that in the term as it is applicable to us is, in my opinion, very, very unfair. And it shows a certain
yeah.
amount of, I guess, separatist and arrogance, too, to even put it out there. Like, sisters, you know, if you choose someone that appears to even be unequally yoked to you, then there's something wrong with you. And that's just something that I just, you know, I can't get down with. Not to mention the fact that I don't know who the hell Brookings Institute is and what their purpose and agenda may be for even putting this out there like that.
Exactly. And I'm with you on that one because, yeah, what is the purpose? Like, they brought up some interesting stats, true. But, you know, then how they bring the stats together, But, yeah, I mean, I would take it exactly as it's out of Corinthians. Equally yoked, I would express it just as it is. Equally yoked, let's take that more into a spiritual stance and not make that so materialistic. You know, that counterpart of yours, you know, in our case, you know, that man, he, you know, may bring a whole lot of in-depth spirituality, again, information, education, that's not going to necessarily express in the material economic stance, but that doesn't mean it doesn't bring something really vital to the union, you know, and vice versa, because we expect as women to be able to do that, do we not? You know, we expect that we may not be, you know, gainfully employed, but we may be degreed, and then we may expect to bring a certain spirituality, emotional stability, and essence to the relationship, and we want that to be accepted and respected. So mm-hmm. I personally think that, you know, we have to, you know, be very reciprocal with that.
Ashay. Yeah, in any good relationship, having some sort of balance, you know, I would like to approach it from that perspective. And me personally, like, you know, the person that I'm involved with, I'm so appreciative of who he is that sometimes I don't even feel, quote, unquote, equally yoked, because there are certain things that he knows about that I'm coming into knowledge of, and there are certain things that I've experienced that he's coming in knowledge to. So as far
Absolutely.
As us being equally yoked, I think it offers a certain amount of balance. Now, that in and of itself is an effort, though, because society has set up these images of what Black relationships are, and we've gotten away from what they used to be, you know, a mama and a daddy and extended family and us spending certain days and holidays and opportunities together to commune, even if it was via over a meal. You know, there was a certain, mm-hmm. I guess, cultural experience that came along with growing up when I was coming up. And so,
right.
and that doesn't exist anymore. So the examples that our children are seeing aren't cultivating us to develop healthy, whole, lasting relationships. It's more popular to hit it and quit it, if you will, in society than it is to go through the tough times that it takes when you truly are committed to making something work. And it does
right.
take work. You know, it does take work, responsibility sometimes, adjusting things that need to be adjusted and things like that. It's a process to that. And so if I come into the relationship feeling like one of us is more yoked up than more yoked up than the other one, like we kind of setting ourselves up for failure, and automatically we're starting off with a certain amount of distance. That's how I see it.
Yeah, because it does set up for competition, doesn't it? It sets you up thinking
mm-hmm.
that you're either at an over advantage or disadvantage to the relationship. You think you may have control, or you know, and then they exert that control out of context, you know, when it doesn't need to be, and we end up in that competition that we so much see out there now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I may write a response to Dr. Jones, and I really want to continue this conversation with him, especially because he has connections with so many men who are in the professional, educated, academic type of arena. But what I tried to express to them in the conversation, Brother Akemba and a few others were on the call as well, is that those communal conversations that I'm hearing, that
uh-huh.
I'm been engaged with people, you know, on a face-to-face basis, kind of barbershop, beauty shop kind of dialogue, is that people are waking up. It's just that they don't want to get involved into chaos. They don't want to step forward and become a part of an organization that's not organized, it's not moving, it's not mobilizing. And I was telling them what I experienced last Sunday being at the masjid, you know, a brother from the local nation invited me out to come and participate in their service on Sunday. So, you know, we're contemplating
yeah.
what kind of relationship can we establish with them. So, you know, I went in good faith.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I saw 8 different brothers join the Nation of Islam. But the rhetoric was the same. It's a lot of propaganda. It's a lot
right.
of kind of, well, if you do this, then this will happen. Well, there's no guarantee if that's the case, and pretty much their one, two-plan attack on mass incarceration was to, one, I don't know, it was something, I forgot, I've even forgotten what number one was, but number two mm-hmm. was join the Nation of Islam. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, so how many brothers who are a part of the Nation of Islam are now incarcerated? And what exactly is the Nation of Islam really doing on a day-to-day basis that has a direct impact on our people? And whatever that is, they need to do it a little bit better because they've been around for God knows how long, and our situation has not changed. But because that's kind of the go-to organization, if you will, especially when it comes to our black men who are seeking guidance, that's what they have a tendency to do, whether they're behind enemy lines or whether they're out here in the street. Our brothers are looking for a way to connect, are looking for a way to uplift themselves and looking for a way to make, to reclaim their position in the black family. We just have to do a better job of having those communal conversations that lets them know that those people who are unequally yoked are willing to have that conversation with them, you know, and that's up to us to be able to do, and that's the reason why the conversations that we have here on Sign of the Times, even though it may appear to some folks that we're, you know, just talking, you know, that's how change begins, is with conversation, you know, and then agreement, and then finding unity, you know, and then building upon that unity. So I have no doubt that we're definitely on the right path, but I just wonder what your analysis, if you will, has been of where our young black men are, and are we missing an opportunity to engage them, and what should we do about it?
We may be, I don't know if we're missing the opportunity. I wish I could gather them from that and, you know, kind of bring them into our fold, because the fact that they're stepping up, I echo your sentiment, they're ready. They want
mm-hmm.
to change. However, whether they've not been incarcerated or whether they are coming from the experience, they definitely are looking for an outlet. I don't have much love for the Nation of Islam. I did 30 years ago. I did when I saw them actually protecting us in the neighborhood in their bow ties and suits, but they've since retreated. They've since become a 501c3. They've since signed on with Scientology. I have a lot of issues with
mm-hmm.
them, and unfortunately I do feel that they will take that energy of these young brothers and dampen it. They'll take it and quail it. They'll take that energy that, you know, that brother, those brothers stood up on Sunday, and they're like, what should we do? We're ready to do something. And they'll say, now, brother, just read the Quran
uh-huh.
and study.
Uh-huh.
You know? So, you know, I do, you know, I find that unfortunate. However, it's almost like recording, you know, when in a good relationship, courtship should happen. Courtship is a lost art in this day and age, but
mm-hmm.
that's what these brothers are doing. They're courting. They want to find an outlet where they can prosper and they can grow and they can do more and participate in the rise of the community, you know. And just like a good relationship, the best relationships has to start with courtship. We too often we shortchange that. You know, when people too early engage in physicality and before they get to actually communicating like we're doing now and getting down
mm-hmm.
to what we really want as a couple, as a community, and as an organization, we too often shortcut that. And so then we jump into a mess. You know, you have a lot of organizations like Black Lives Matter, to a prime example. Forget about how it started. Forget about the fact that it's funded by George Soros. But you do have, again, a lot of us melanated people coming together wanting to do something, but it was it was too whimsical. You know, they all came together,
mm-hmm.
which was powerful, but now what? They're not doing anything but basically, you know, just now selling T-shirts. You know, and going
mm-hmm.
to rallies. But the rallies, again, have no effect because there's no agenda. They haven't courted each other to find out what it is that they hope to hold as a goal in the future. You know, so that's kind of where I find that's at now. You know, I don't think that people should discount us. You know, we're not in that conscious community stirring up energy just for the sake of debate. You know, we are actually trying to, you know, sit down and let's have an agenda because, you know, as Dr. Jones would say, don't get it twisted. We went into Obama and expected him to do things for us, and we didn't present him with an agenda, you know.
Okay.
So we do need to you know, sit down and court that and organize that. What is our agenda? We know we want not to be oppressed anymore, but what does that mean? You know, we've been oppressed for so long. We don't know really what that means. The only thing we can come of it really is come out of it with is we want more economics. You know, we want to feel good at night, and really what that means in most people's household is that they want more money. They think that they'll feel good with more money, and you know, and not go out with the risk of having, you know, the police come down on them in some kind of way. But, you know, freedom and not being oppressed is so much more than that. You know, it is about gathering a culture and not just segmenting and saying our culture is Islam or our culture is more and our culture is that. Why can't our culture be all of that, you know, the way I figure it? All of these are parts of our history. We just have to get our timeline straight. We were Moors at a certain part of history. We, you know, we were Native Americans in our history. We were Egyptian in our history. All the timelines of these stories are totally different. So we were all of that, you know. So there's a lot that we need to court and just come together, you know, as a people. We can still get out there and do some things in the street, especially when it comes to our safety. That's where I think the Nation of Islam really is missed the boat. They can gather, you know, these youngs up and up. If you don't do nothing else, that was like one of the first first duties you had in the old nation was you can at least become a foot soldier while you were going through your teaching. You know, when I was younger in Chicago, the police just rolled through a community that was guarded by the nation, but they didn't dare come out of their squad car to do more than say hello. Those brothers held it down, and they weren't armed. They didn't have to be, you know, as the Panthers in armament. They did that, and they stood in integrity and honor. So, you know, we don't have that in them anymore.
Yeah, that's true. And so, you know, we put together, and I say this at the beginning of every broadcast, you know, the UAC and our original formation was put together after the Zimmerman verdict because, one, you know, it was clear that Occupy the Hood was had been co-opted and that the people who began it had been paid to pretty much piss on it and sabotage it, and they made no qualms about it. And so that's how we ended up putting together the United African Coalition for Justice and Human Rights. It took us 3 months to work out a 10-point platform, and we used the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the Panther Platform, and natural law in putting our platform together. And it seems like when we got to the point of really having an impact and being at that pinnacle, that I spoke with about Dr. Jones, I mean, with Dr. Jones and the brothers the other night about, and it feels like that's where we are now. And it seems like when we got to that pinnacle point of really making an impact to the point where things were going to start to snowball into something that we wanted to actually see happen, tangible things that could happen, it seemed like people got arrogant. People started to look at personal things that were going on. I all of a sudden wasn't adequate enough leadership. You know, it was just a mess. And so, but one thing I knew that needed to still happen is that those conversations that it would take us to accomplish what we said we wanted to accomplish were going to still have to take place. And we did, we owed it to the energy that had been invested, even putting that platform together, to keep at least keep sign of the times on the air, even if we couldn't form the formations and things like that that we had anticipated being able to do. And so, you know, that's why we kept sign of the times going forward, and that's why I acknowledged the UAC and New Power Radio Network, because it was birthed, if you will, from the Zimmerman verdict. And so, but I think that we haven't really looked at it as an asset, as something that is positive, that came forth out of a messed up situation. So if we can make a cake with no ingredients, definitely if we get more folks involved in what we're doing, even if it's not called the UAC, I really don't care what name it's called. The work needs to be done. You know, we need to come together. Right. We need to coalesce. We need a diverse group of people we have enough talent and energy and resources even in our community to where we should be able to do this. You know, and it took a lot to even in my womanhood, as we get that out your mouth, give me it. As we call tonight's dialogue, Sisters of the Soul, I had to stand firm on my square, you know, and I thought about Queen Nzinga and some of the shit that she probably had to take, even Ella Baker, you know, and some of the shit that she probably had to take, being a woman in a position of power, you know.
Right.
And we don't realize and utilize that enough. You know, we are powerful women, and we should accept that and not wear it with a badge of arrogance, but wear it with a badge of pride that, you know, there are women who came before us that allowed us to be in this position, you know, that allowed us to pave the way, if you will, for other sisters to come up behind us. And so I think we should continue to stand firm on our square with establishing, you know, the agenda that Sister Armani spoke about and speaks about in Legs Closed. You know, I think we should protect our Yanni more than we do. And I think we should have a conversation with these sisters that's all on social media with their ass and titties and tongues hanging out, thinking that shit's cute, and it's not. Like, no, that's not cute, and it's not acceptable, and you're not thorough, as they like to call themselves. You look like, you know, you look like you don't care, you know, and the young ladies that are looking at you as a role model, whether they be in your family, whether they be your actual children, and the young men who you may be raising and having an influence on, they're going to grow up with the perception that that shit's normal, and it's not. It's not. It's just simply not. So we have to definitely stand on our square and do a better job of not wavering according to who we're speaking to and the conversations that they're attempting to have, and not accepting that the homosexuality, masculinity of our females, feminization of our boys, and this precarious, precocious looseness that we see with our bodies going on, male and female, that's somewhat acceptable and normal, because it certainly is not. And I yield.
Yeah, I echo that 100%. It may be time for us to get out in the community. What struck me when you were saying that is just being on the street, the main thoroughfare in Cincinnati, just throwing out some cards or some little flyers just saying, meet us at the community center, and making sure we hitting these sisters that are scantily clad out there with everything hanging out, you know, for all to see, and just kind of reel them in, bring them in, and you know, not browbeat them, but definitely say, you know what, we got to make a different turn. And just tell them, hey, you know what, there's some brothers out here who are thinking that you got a diamond in there, and they can't see it for all of the other things that you're putting forth. You're looking like a caricature out in the street, and they can't see, you know, your true goodness in there. And, you know, whether you're keeping your legs closed or not, that's not what you're putting out there. I mean, it used to be a time where, you know, we just did not do that because of the backlash, the bad attention that we would get. You know, you got everything hanging out for all to see, you know, and then you walk down the street and wonder why you're attacked or something like that. You know, that was always frowned upon for whatever reason. And now definitely pushed by reality TV and pushed by the agenda. This is something that's pushed by the established agenda deliberately to break down the family unit. So when they have a reality TV show out there like Basketball Wives showing all of this strife, all of these, you know, women calling each other every name but the child of God, and, you know, overly made up, and, you know, butt implants here and there, and you know, lifts here, they, you know, they champion that, and they want us to champion it. They champion it not because they feel that it's right or not, but they want the public masses to champion that, specifically our brown community, because it's part of that agenda, you know. And we need to really, you know, almost not play nice anymore about it, and embrace our strength, you know. And it may take us, you know, just getting boots on the ground at this point, because it ain't no more talking, you know. Like Birdman said, I ain't got no more talking, you know. We got to get into
that's right,
right,
that's
you
right.
know. So
that's right,
because that's what happens. I think when the arrogance comes up, that's when everyone knows rubber has to meet the road, and they're not prepared to do that. That's when you have all of the arrogant excuses. You know, you, I run into that even in my in a holistic health practice. When people come to me, oh, I want to change, I want to do all of this, I want to do all of that, and we go through and we sit down, we make a plan, we may even take two or three meetings, go through food choices and all this other stuff. But when it comes down to the brass tactics, every excuse comes up, you know, out of the book. I can't, I won't, well, this happened and this happened, you know, because it's that fear of action. We are so we have been oppressed for so long, you know, in so many different aspects and so many different facets, that when faced with that real potential picture of freedom in our eyes, we really don't know what to do with that, you know?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And so, Sister Andrean, like, and I want, you know, anybody that is listening and those that may hear this later, like, I don't want to give the sisters the impression that we don't accept them, because we do, that we don't love them, because we do, and that we don't respect them, because we do. The thing is that we have to accept them, and this is something else we talked about with Jones on Wednesday. We have to accept them where they are, not where we are, not where they think, not where we think they should be. You know, with,
right.
with any sort of judgment or anything like that. We just want to see us do better as a community. And we are dealing with the real facts that unless we change the paradigm, the conversations are never going to change. Unless we change what we expect from one another, you know, things are not going to change like they should. And we have to be honest with ourselves. So, you know, I don't want to ever give the impression that to the young sisters that we are somehow judging them to make them feel bad, you know, because that can happen if we're not careful how we communicate our message, you know, and in getting young men and women to become involved. You know, the last thing we want them to do is feel as though we have some sort of, I don't know, judgmental superiority complex because we may be one way and they may be another way. No, you know, we all can heal from this, and we all have something that we can learn from one another. We just have to be able to make the investment of energy, time, and resources to make sure that it happens and to make sure that people are protected once they do become a part of the process, you know? And I yield.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I mean, there's no judgment. In fact, let me put it out there. I was an overeducated fool. You know, not saying that that's what they are, but that was what I was. You know, I was out there after, you know, college degree thinking that, oh, I'm going to get somebody this, that, and the other. But I was acting I was out of line, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it did take someone to bend my ears, like, are you sure you want to go this way, sister? You know, so I was graced with that. And I want to pay that forward and offer my support. That's ultimately what it boils down to. You know, these are my sisters in arms. We are all together in the same pot. You know, so, you know, the only way we get out of pot is if we, you know, help each other rise above our shoulders, you know. So we help each other one by one, you know, and so that's what it's all about, you know. So, no, it's no judgment at all, you know. It's that I feel, you know, we feel for them. We want their rise, and we want their ultimate success, because in that, you know, we can champion that. It's, you know, what, you know, time we, you know, we find our, we don't have to reach back in history to find, you know, our successes and stuff. We have it amongst us, but we can't see it. And it's the same thing with these sisters. These sisters are vibrant and dynamic and smart and intelligent, regardless of their education, because their education ain't nothing but indoctrination. So don't get me on that topic. That's a whole nother scenario, you know, which brings us back again to the whole what equally yoked really means. But, you know, we have all the talent in our community. We have sisters who may not have gotten out of grammar school that make great educators. You know, we have all of this stuff. But the thing is, they can't be, no one sees them when they look and appear a certain way out in the public, you know, or even amongst their peers and amongst their children. We can't see who they really are because they have this presence that's not even part of who they are that they're putting on. It's like that mask, you know. So we need to shed that, because that's not a mask that was even given to us. That's not a mask that we take, you know. That's a mask that your oppressor is actually putting upon you and say, hey, this is the end thing to do right now, you know. So we're just helping them. Let's peel that layer back and embrace who you are as a natural sister, you know, melanated brown African sister, original woman. You know, let's get you to a point where you can be truly respected and accepted for your essence and who you really are.
Ashe. That was beautiful. So another one of the conversations that we need to have with our sisters too is deals with the predators that are in our community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the lifestyles, if you will, of some of the sisters who choose to dress in a certain way, choose to reveal themselves in a certain way, choose to even explore their sexuality in a certain way, we have to deal with the fact that there are predators in our community, male and female. And so that's one of the reasons why it's so important to instill in our young sisters and our brothers as well that they need to protect themselves from that. You know, we could get into the disease potential and you know, the health risks and everything like that, but the mental consequences of succumbing to a predator are totally different than what we may do, you know, just being fast or whatever, you know, because that certain extent you kind of put yourself out there being fast or whatever. But you don't do that when you are seduced by a predator. And so our young ladies need to be able to identify who these people are, need to be able to prepare themselves and should they be approached in a certain way. And we, like I said, I think we owe it to our young sisters to have that conversation with them, to let them know that, you know, regardless of what has happened to you up until now, that every day the sun rises, and even when it sets, there presents itself an opportunity to hit the reset button, if you will.
Absolutely.
And they need to be able to do that and claim it, you know, and stand again on their square once they do. And as you relate it to folks that make a nutritional change and a dietary change and want to go through the training and education part of that, like, you know, like last week I told you, I mean, what was that, 2 weeks ago I said, Adriana, I got a confession to make. I ate some chocolate-covered almonds, like, you know, and it's okay because I had to hit the reset button on that particular day because I had them chocolate-covered almonds, but they were so good. And I just had to, you know, start all over again. But, you know, I'm simplifying it, but it is similar to that. I mean, I don't care if you were standing on the corner of 9 and 13th, which is a popular area in Cincinnati. I don't care if you were standing on the corner of 9 and 13th with your booty cheeks hanging out yesterday.
Right.
When the sun rose this morning, that was your opportunity to hit that reset button. You know, and I don't think that we use that enough, you know, that reset button is sitting there at any time in our lives. You know, we can hit it. We can choose to hit it. And then things that happen prior to then don't apply to who you are from that point forward.
Exactly.
You are no longer, you know, who you once were the day before. And so that's not a sign of weakness. That's not a sign of being a punk or nothing like that. It's just a sign of somebody that's willing to accept, you know, who they were and are willing to do it just a little bit better. You know, I've been using that phrase, that phrase a lot too. Just do a little bit better. Just do a little, you know, try. Just, you know, we're not asking you for a miracle. We're not asking you to go, you know, build us a house or, you know, conquer the world. We're just asking you to invest in yourself enough to just do a little bit better. And that makes it a lot easier, I think, to have the conversation. And it's that you're not looked at as somebody who's necessarily criticizing them for who they are. You're looked at as a person that cared enough to say something. And I yield.
Absolutely. Yes. It just, you know, it's just a matter of changing the habit, you know, changing the thought form and changing the habit. And every day is that do-over. And, you know, when you recognize and someone helps you sometimes to recognize that a do-over is needed in some kind of way, it may just transfer into you getting up 30 minutes earlier just so that you can look at the world in a different way. Or, you know, you wake up and something else is just different, you know, and that's all it takes. But it's constant, you know. You have to reprogram yourselves out of habit You know, even with our sisters dressing the same way. The first thing, well, what else I'm going to wear? You know, because that's all that's in their closet. Well, just dig in the back and see what else is there. And how about trying that? How does that feel? You know, or why, or even investigating why you're dressing the way you're dressing now. And in doing that, you may have to go back into the closet and remember where you dressed, where you were dressing before, or how you were expressing before. You know, what were you doing a year ago? Were you doing booty poses on Facebook a year ago? Well, why did you start? You know, because sometimes we're seeing, you know, a lot of things go in our community miss. You know, we're not getting the love and positive feedback that we want to have. We don't know how to ask for it because some of us never got it. So we don't know how to ask for it. We're reaching and we're seeking and we're trying to find ways to get more positive reinforcement. Sometimes that 50 likes on that booty pose, you know, will brighten someone's day. Well, how else can we brighten your day, sister? Because we love you. We don't need to love you that way. And we don't want you to set yourself up for that predator that's lurking on your page who's going to reach out to you and promise you the world and have you all twisted at the end of the day. You know, not only can emotional bondage occur, emotional manipulation, spiritual information, I mean manipulation, we don't think about that at all. That's what equally yoked means. You know, you're protecting, when you protect your yoni and your punani, you're actually protecting your essence, and that goes way deep into your spirituality. When you bond with your counterpart, you are bonding on a spiritual level, which is why we can't detach when we need to. So if predators know this. Predators know that once we hook you, once you get a whiff of that man's pheromones, or that woman's pheromones, whoever your counterpart is in that scenario, they know that you are bonded, and they manipulate that to their end. You know, so we have to, one, be aware, and then teach, and then, you know, make sure that we're giving them the option of, you know, it's like, let us be the community to offer you love, you know, if that's what you're seeking, so that you are not predisposed to exposing yourselves in ways that's going to lead to your downfall or your compromise later.
So we're almost to the top of the hour. I know we said we were going to stay short tonight, but we've got a couple of callers that are on the line. If you'd like to be a part of the conversation, please push 1. And if you're listening on your computer, dial in at 917-889-8059, 917-889-8059. We're going to stick to our usual protocol and go ahead and take a break. So you're listening in Time and the Times, brought to you by New Power Radio Network. It's Friday night with Sisters of the Soul, Sister Andrian Tucker of Andrian's Holistic Health and Healing, my co-host tonight. So we'll be right back.
Hey, my beautiful people. This is Andrian, and I'm host of the show Holistic Health and Healing on the New Power Radio Network. We all know that without your help, nothing else is worthwhile, right? I mean, what's the point of being rich if you end up spending all the time you have left and all the money you've made on the way to get back the health that was neglected on the journey? Well, let's get back to making our health and well-being a priority. Then the wealth and prosperity will automatically flow. So join us as we dive into all matters of health and well-being holistically in all areas of your life. We'll discuss the causes and effects of diseases and medical conditions and what you can do to heal from these effects. You'll hear suggestions on how to best utilize the medical establishment for your benefit instead of their profit. We'll explore all of the latest innovations in health and well-being and how to apply them in all areas of your life. In the end, we must remove everything that's creating and maintaining the pain and disease in our lives in order to treat our wounds and to heal. Here's to your holistic health. Many blessings. Peace.
Hello, my name is Dr. James Thomas Jones III, and I am the author of an exciting new book titled Obruni, an African-American Odyssey Home. Most African-Americans have some desire to discover where they are originally from. Obruni is the story of my personal journey to find my ancestral home. Through a host of twists and turns, I must relate that I was able to have many of my most pressing questions regarding who I am and where I come from answered by some of the least likely sources. In fact, I was able to discover some surprising things during my trip to Ghana. If such things interest you, please support A Black Writer and visit Amazon.com and pick up your copy of Obruni, an African-American Odyssey Home, today. Thank you.
We are at war. I don't think there's any other way to begin this or to say it. We are at war. We're in a physical war of attrition, which for some people it may appear that we are losing, but I measure based upon how far I've moved away from being European. The slave's wisdom is in the master's head. When deeds speak words of meaningless, if they come and get your men at night, they'll be back in the morning for your women. Proverbs are people's wisdom. But when you teach children in Proverbs, then you are cultivating their ability to think. We have to stop sometimes. Someone will say a proverb to us, and we have to stop and think about what it means. And then what it means in terms of the context of whatever they're talking to us in. Because proverbs work your brain. Proverbs make you think. Imagine what we would have in our communities if every other sentence, every other discussion we had, we presented our children with a proverb relative to that. What kind of firepower we would have in the minds of our children. We wouldn't have a situation like we have now where we move from miseducation where they're given the wrong information to diseducation where they don't want to have to think because it's work. Proverbs shows you how intelligent you are. It gives you the wisdom of your ancestors. I wanted to go through a list of what it is to be a man, or what manhood is supposed to be about already. So for me, manhood involves at least five major components. You have educator, leader, provider, protector, and respecter of women. In our home, politics are simple. Politics don't have to be big. They should really be simple things. For Indiana, no Euros, no homos, no Negroes. One word for me. It's a very important word in our house. Jairus Clark talked about how the Romans, when they wanted to conquer Kemet, they would greet each other every day. Greeting, fellow Roman. Egypt must not fall. Greeting, fellow Roman. Egypt must fall. And this was an affirmation they said to each other day in and day out until they did it. We must say something along those lines. How you say and what you say, that's up to you, but we need to incorporate that into our conversation. We say a BB Fahodier. Can you say that with me? A BB Fahodier. A BB Fahodier. That's tree for African liberation. A BB Fahodier. We say that when we greet each other in the morning. We say that when we walk out the door. We say that when we're going to bed. We say that whenever anyone sneezes. A B Fahodier. A B Fahodier.
A B Fahodier. A B Fahodier. Welcome back to Sign of the Times, everyone. I'm going to go ahead and open up my co-host, Mike, back up. If you're interested in speaking in the conversation, we're going to be on for maybe about another 15 minutes. Please push 1 if you're on your phone, if you're listening on your computer. Dial in at 917-889-8059, 917-889-8059. And so Dr. Baruti spoke on the importance of affirmation, the importance of proverbs. So can you talk about that from your perspective, Sister Andriana, on because you have more experience with research and things like that, what exactly does that mean from the African-centered perspective?
As far as affirmation? I would say, you know how you stand on your square, right? We know that. Some people don't know what that means, standing on your square as far as holding your integrity and your honor and wearing that as your badge of honor, is your badge into the world. So it's not a place of arrogance. It's a place of operation, you know. So when you have affirmations coming to the seat, let me just explain how that would play. You know, how with a sister that we'd like to help to progress. She is feeling a certain kind of way, which is why she's presenting herself in a certain kind of way. So let's get down into talking with her, dialoguing with her. Why do you feel this way? And how can we make you feel better? Or how can we give you the tools to make you feel better? And then that becomes those tools and how she expresses it is self-affirming. It becomes her affirmation. and it becomes her feedback mechanism. So right now we would see that woman on the street, the feedback mechanism is she's getting attention. She puts on these tight spandex pants. She puts on this really, really low-cut tank top, and she's got all form fitted as she, with high heels as she's strutting down the street. The feedback loop is she's getting a lot of attention, you know, whistle calls and brothers stepping to her, promising her the world, not having, you know, two pennies to rub together, just all to get into her energetic space, right? She's digging on that, so the next day she goes and does it again. Flip the script, and now she has someone like us or, you know, her elder or, you know, some even her own counterpart whispering in her ear, or it actually could be a brother whispering in her ear, sister, you know, can you consider doing this? You don't have to do this, and see what type of attention you'll get. The attention is going to be different, but it's going to be no less poignant. It's going to be very strong, and it may actually get her, actually it will get her better to her, her ultimate goal, which is she wants to share her life with somebody, you know, and that becomes her affirmation. Now she just needs to navigate ways to make that really work for her. You know, now she needs to take that as an affirmation and frequent arenas that she might not have considered before to actually find or present herself to the potential mate that's going to really champion her as his queen, you know. So, you know, when you get into the different verses of Proverbs, basically that's what that all is. It is all a way of life and how to affirm it and how to bring it into your space so that you can really utilize the power of it. You know, it takes that one change, you know, with all they getting, get wisdom. And in that, just that first one, you can now set yourself in a space to really affect change, and that change is going to reaffirm itself. Spiritually speaking, once you make a change and once you decide you want change, the universe is going to conspire to give it to you. The problem with us in the community is that we know we want change, yes, but we can't put our first foot forward to really towards what that really should look like. So the universe doesn't really know what to deliver to us. We'll give you change. We'll give you more brothers being beat down. We'll give you change, you know. So we have to actually kind of take that first step, even if it's a leap of faith, to put that in motion. You know, with that, I yield.
Ashe. And so since now I want to talk a little bit too briefly about the importance of repetition and how that can start to influence behavior. Can you go into that a little bit?
Yeah, repetition sets the habit. You know, just as you might have bad habits, they might not have always been bad habits, but it took that one time and then a reinforcement, that reinforcement loop. And now you have a habit, you know. So something is making you feel good in a habit. Something you're getting from a habit keeps you in repeating it. You know, if you bumped into the side post of your bed and it hurt, you ain't going to do it again because you didn't get anything from it, right? So it's not going to develop in a habit. But if you reach into your refrigerator and you go and take, you know, a scoop of ice cream and that scoop turns into a pint, oh, that feels good. So you're going to look to do it again, you know, and it really is as simple as that. You know, we like the outcry in the streets. We like the feeling we get from a street protest because we get the camaraderie, we get the dialogue, we get a sense of community when we do that. Unfortunately, it doesn't go anywhere after that. That energy dies down. So it doesn't really get us to the next point. But we'll be the first one to stand up the next time a rally takes place. Oh, yeah, I went to that rally. That felt real good. I'm going to do all I can to get to the next rally, you know. So a lot of times, and even just, you know, commonalities in your household, it could be that negative loop within your relationship. You guys have a shouting match, and now you burst out into tears. Well, you like the way he came behind you and rubbed your shoulders, and it led to him just holding you in a true sense of intimacy that night, right? So now what are you going to do the next time? You're going to burst into tears. It's not really doing you any good in the relationship because it's driving angst through the relationship. but you are getting the initial tenderness that you really wanted in the first place, that's being reinforced with your outburst, you know. And on the flip side of that, a lot of people find themselves in abusive relationships, and it's that habitual loop. It's all a matter of habit, you know. I don't really know the expression of love. I didn't grow up with it, for instance. I didn't grow up in my household. So when he yelled at me and really gets into my face and shakes the crap out of me by my shoulders and, you know, throws me and then tells me, baby, I'm just loving you and I don't know how to act, that, that could be a positive reinforcing loop, you know, so that you may take it there the next time. So he gets back in your face, shakes the crap out of you again, and then comes back with the I love you that you've never heard before. You know? So a lot of different ways habits can take form, and we can create habits to our benefit, but we can also create and reinforce habits to our detriment. You know, to flip the script on that, you know, when you go and in tenderness, you know, just as you're walking by your mate, just give him a shoulder rub, and then from there he goes and asks you, Queen, can I get you something? And you like that feeling? How reinforcing is that? You'd be rubbing his shoulder. You'd be rubbing his shoulders every chance you get. You know? Or
that's true. Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? You'd be like, ooh, he gave me this. Ooh, you'd be thinking about stuff that I'm going to ask him for this next time, you know? Or even from a dietary standpoint. You've been eating, you know, hot dogs most of your life, and then you come to realize that, you know, that last hot dog you had doesn't really feel all that good, you know. So you're going to lay off of it for a while. Your intention is not to necessarily stop eating it, but you may lay off of it for a while and get something else instead and realize that, wow, I feel even better with that, you know. And now that's enough. That's the development of a better habit. You know, so habits are strong. Habits drive the psyche. And you can change the world, change your world. You can change your whole family's perspective with just a change in habit. And one person in the household is all it takes. If they change their perspective and habit, it's going to change the state of that family. And that's where our power is as queens in our household. That's where our power lies.
That's right. I can testify to that because I tried to eat, I think it was lunch meat or something, had a sandwich. By me changing my diet for, you know, the past like 3-4 months and staying away from processed stuff, you know, I was hungry, it was quick, and I made a sandwich. And it's like, oh my God, my stomach was killing me. And it wasn't worth it. Like, I was like, oh, well, see, I can't eat that no more, you know. So change is good. And challenging ourselves to change is good. And it's worth the investment. It really is. I know sometimes change kind of scares people and they don't want to seem like they're, you know, not a part of the crowd or not, you know, doing what's popular or whatever. But sometimes your change can influence other people to change, just like you said in the household. You know, it can start gradual and we start to share information amongst each other. Then, you know, we start to influence each other in a particular way. We just haven't harnessed it so that it can continue to be a full benefit. So, I want to thank you, Sister Adriana. I know we had initially spoken about, diet and talking about Tuesday's broadcast. So can you talk about your relationship with Brother Jonathan Coleman and Blacktopia and what people can expect when we're on from Sign of the Times on Tuesday?
Ah, you're in for a treat. So my brother King Jonathan, he's my beloved. And I met him about over 6 months ago, and he basically took me by the hand and helped to really promote my brand, and he's the ultimate publicist. And that's what and Blacktopia is his brainchild. And so bringing us into the fold, Sign of the Times into the fold of Blacktopia, I think is a great treat. You know, that group itself is over 4,000 strong. And, you know, they have a playfulness about them, but there's a lot of people in it that are really just into getting the work done. And so I think you, Queen, you're going to bring such a great element to that because you're going to give them a platform that they don't always recognize. You know, a lot of us are afraid of the drama or don't want to be bothered with the drama of the other conscious community, you know, those aspects of it, all of the debates and, you know, all of the, you know, all of that emotional strife that, you know, that's out there right now. That's where some of they're losing some of us to a more individualistic outlook. But with Blacktopia, I believe it's gonna it brings really succinctly a sense of community. So you know, we're able to laugh, we're able to play You've Seen in the Group, we're able to, you know, joke around and stuff. And then, you know, sometimes Don't Get It Twisted Tuesdays, something that will pop up more hard hitting, you know. And then that's all of what we are, you know. I do believe that we need to be a little bit more, but that's just me, a little bit more hard-hitting, but that's my take on it. But I think you're going to offer a lot to that group and coming into the fold with that. On Tuesday, you got Sister Queen Barbara Country and Sister Queen Adrian Carlson, and then Jonathan, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay. I say, and so what time and how can people find it?
You know what? Why don't I put Brother King Jonathan on the line?
Hey, okay. How you doing, Queen Tahira?
I'm fine, Brother Jonathan. Welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, doing well. I just want to give everybody that information. Queen Tahira will be a guest on Blacktopia Presents Roundtable Talk Radio Tuesday. The 6th, with host Barbara the Country Cleaning Lady, Adrian Charleston, and myself, some guy named Jay. And, of course, Queen Tahira is a guest, and you can listen to it on blogtalkradio.com/podcasts on demand. And that's from Tuesday from 9 to 11. And you can check out blacktopia.org. That's the Blacktopia website. Also look for the Blacktopia Facebook group. We're going to start getting more hard-hitting, you know, in the future, especially on Don't Get It Twisted Tuesday. And also the number, if you want to stream for your phone, is 387. Just go to the link. I don't have it prepared in front of me right now. But and definitely, we look forward to having you on, Queen Tahira. And thank you, and my beloved Andrian sitting right next to me. Okay, you take the phone from me.
I say. Okay, well, I'm definitely looking forward to the conversation on Tuesday. Let's make it happen. Let's continue to build. Let's continue to unite, and let's continue to speak truth to power, and especially if the power is in our hands, since the power is in our hands. We owe it to ourselves and we owe it to our loved ones. Ashe.
Absolutely.
So, do you have anything else in closing, Sister Andrian, before we go for the weekend?
I just want to extend on the habit, just one small point, and that is when you change a habit, it actually becomes cellular. It becomes part of your genetics. That's why when you went back to the hot dog, to the lunch meat, it didn't sit with you anymore. Your body can no longer process it. You know, so it's more than just your perception that changes. Your perception really does change your reality, you know. And that's what I want to leave with people. When we change and we're embarking on further change as a community, our reality will change, you know. And it's not a matter of making the establishment bend to our will. Our will stays within us, and that change is going to change our reality because then they'll have to change how they deal with it. With that, I yield. Yeah, and I offer many blessings in closing to you, my love, and everyone else out there in the Sign of the Times community.
Ashe. Well, thank you for your continued commitment, not only to Sign of the Times, but the dialogue that I know you have with people on a personal basis to help us realize that we are worth the investment that it takes in order for us to change. And once we change, the things around us will continue to change. So I thank you, everybody, for listening this week. I can't think of a better way, as always, to wrap up on a positive note on a Friday. I'm going to go continue to work on the house that we're moving to. And you're absolutely right, Sister Andrian. You know, when we change the way we perceive things, the things around us continue to change. And the fact that we're moving to an apartment, but a house from the situation that we're in is a definite testimony of that. And so thank you for your continued support, and I love you, and I appreciate you very much.
Likewise, beloved.
Ashe. Okay, Shelby K. Johnson, I see him Tuesday.
All right. Right on.
All right. Thank you. Okay, we'll see y'all Tuesday here at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sign of the Times, and then we'll see you on Blacktopia later on that evening. Please look on Sign of the Times, Queen Tahira. It's Andrian's page. It's Andrian Tucker, Andrian Health and Healing on Facebook, and Blacktopia, of course, and find the promo for that broadcast on Tuesday later on after we go off the air. So thank you to you, Sister Andrian. Thank you, Brother Jonathan. Thank you to all the listeners. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. And most of all, we respect you. We'll see you Tuesday.
Peace.
Heard about the party now, just east of Harlem. Dougie gonna be there, but you got to call him. Even the soldiers need a break sometimes. Listen to the groove, y'all. Let it unwind your mind. No intoxication. Let's see what I see. Dancing hot and sweaty, right in front of me. Call it what you like. I'm a woman high beat. This is just another one of God's gifts. Musicology. Got to keep the party moving. Like they told you. Keep the old school joint. For the true funk soldier. Musicology.
What you need the most, and that's time.